It would be too much to say that hope and peace are identical twins, but they do share some similar DNA. And I love those stories from elementary school about identical twins plotting together to switch places, to see if anybody notices. That they get together and trade their favorite t-shirts, and they outline a plan, drawing a diagram of each other's classroom, showing their sibling where their desk is found, and the next day they cannot wait to see if anybody notices. Eventually, though, the teacher notices that freckle that's a little out of place, and she realizes there's been the old switcheroo. Well, hope and peace are similar, so we can easily get them confused with one another because they are both deeply rooted in the love of God. Hope, though, is our motivation. Peace is our goal. And this similar couple has a way of bringing together some very odd pairs. Like the prophet Isaiah saying, the wolf and the lamb will live together, that the leopard will lie down with the kid, that the calf and the lion will be together, that the cow and the bear will graze with one another, that the lion will eat straw like the ox. Those are some odd pairings that we usually keep those combinations as far apart as possible. That the petting zoo that uses the prophet Isaiah as a business plan would not be in business very long. That hope and peace have this tendency to bring together some very odd pairs, like we read throughout Scripture, wondering if Jew and Gentile, friend and stranger, rich and poor, slave and free, could ever really come together. And the prophet Isaiah recognizes that in the given circumstances, the people have very little hope. That they are fighting with one another, and they are fighting Assyria to the north. Isaiah says they're looking down at the stump of Jesse, which is Isaiah's way of saying they are looking at the very end of the dynasty of King David. It has been cut off at the very base of the tree. That King David was the one that brought Israel together, and now it is coming apart. That they are looking down at this lifeless stump, which does not hold the same promise as a seed. But Isaiah says this branch will grow out of its roots. That they are looking at this lifeless stump above ground, but what they don't realize is that there is hope and new life still found in the roots, that hope never consults the odds. And I can just picture John the Baptist standing out there in the wilderness, high on this stump, preaching as loud as he can to people that are gathering around him. And it's quite the sight. He's wearing this clothing made out of camel's hair. That's not on anybody's Christmas list. He's got this leather belt tied around his waist. He does not look like anything out of a J. Crew catalog. And yet, people are still drawn to him. And it's a wonder why. He's preaching about repentance. One way to get people's attention is to think about what they want to hear and then give it to them. Like the doorbusters on Black Friday, people line up around the corner. But John the Baptist is tone deaf to what people want to hear. He's preaching about repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And yet, people are going out into the wilderness to confess their sins. It's rather hard to believe. But then again, when repentance is more about God's embrace than some rigid, lifeless judgment, that's a very different kind of confession. It's less about regret and the past and more about new life and the future. That we might look at repentance like this lifeless stump, because we have seen it used to bully others into shallow change. But let us never underestimate the life that is found in its roots. Perhaps the worst lie worthy of repentance that we have ever been told or told others is that sticks and stones can break our bones, but words can never hurt us. That if we tried to argue the difference between the pain and agony caused by physical harm versus the harm done by words, I honestly am not sure which one would be worse. Because any act of hate and violence that causes physical harm is always preceded by a poor choice of words. And if we are a people anticipating the arrival of the Word of God at Christmas, perhaps we should take our words seriously. That they can be as powerful as any fist and as life-changing as any helping hand. That our words should conform to the Word. That words can make for peace. Not just talking about peace, but using words of peace, words that encourage instead of harm, words that build instead of criticize, words that bring people together instead of keeping them apart. That too many times we are surrounded by words that talk over or speak at, words that belittle, demean, and undermine. That we hide behind the power of words instead of embracing the vulnerability of peace. That we can struggle to imagine anything good about the other side. And we refuse to use words of peace because the other side does not. But we know something is wrong with our words when it does not bring together any odd pairs. people from different places and different perspectives, because that is always what happens when hope and peace come together. Perhaps one of the very first songs that any of us learn is the alphabet song. That song that teaches us the letters that form our words. It's easy to learn. It's got a nice, slow tempo. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know how it goes. There's that one part, though, in the middle that gets a little quicker. H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. It's like sliding into second base before you round third to finally come home. And if we hear children sing the alphabet song, it takes us back to those formative years in kindergarten where everybody thinks their teacher is the best one in the world, and we have our own carpet square to sit on in the classroom. And it's hard to change things that are familiar. So when an author created a new version of the alphabet song, the reaction was, shall we say, quite strong. People were picking up those old carpet squares and throwing them at him. Then instead of that quick tempo of element of P, it slowed all those letters down. L, M, N, O, P, as slow as the other 21. Well, people were furious, lashing out with harsh criticism, saying it was unnecessary. It's sacrilegious. One person said, "Who died and made you king of the alphabet song?" Well, the producer of this song was interviewed. He would not let them use his last name because he had received so much hate mail. Well, Matt created this song because he produces educational videos. And he slowed down the element of P to make it easier for non-English speaking students and children with special needs. That apparently, when those words are said so quickly, it's hard to distinguish them from one another. In fact, one mother wrote him a letter saying that her child, who has autism, that it was the very first time she realized those letters were separate. Too often, our words are so quick to criticize, built on assumptions instead of listening, our worldview instead of stepping into somebody else's shoes, that our words can move so quickly, like element of P, that we don't realize the harm that they can do. And since peace cannot wait, repentance cannot wait either. That as we await the arrival of the Word of God, the Prince of Peace, John the Baptist is out there in the wilderness, calling to us, repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. And as we get closer, we can hear the passion in his voice And at first, he may sound upset. And he is serious. But if we look closely in his eyes, I'm not sure he is angry. I think he is concerned for everyone who has been harmed or hurt, left out or left behind. That he just wants the world to look a little bit more like the kingdom of heaven. And we can begin by bending our words into the shape of the Word. But there is one warning label on peace right there in the fine print. If we use words of peace, we will find ourselves in a room full of some very odd pairs. We will be standing there, right there in the middle of mixed company, which, as you know, can make it even harder to choose our words carefully, because we have to pay attention to everyone in the room, not trying to make them happy. We know that is not possible. But we are called to be mindful of them, aware of them, concerned for them, because everybody is essential for the goal of peace. That our words and comments can break our bones. But words of peace will never disappoint us. Amen.